I'm sure it will comfort you all to know that I have always been a church nerd, at least since sometime in middle school. And so when I got to college in Philadelphia, my first line of business was to figure out where to go to church. In fact, I already knew where I was going to go to church. I just had to get there, which was right off campus at University Lutheran Church, a good name for a church right off campus. And it was a fascinating little church with quite a strange collection of people. So there were students like me, so I felt very welcome there. And there were professors and other professional people. There were people who were living on the streets who came to the weekly meal, Feast Incarnate, on Tuesdays, and then also came back for worship. And then there was something strange. There was, to me, at least in my experience, there was a collection of gay men who came to that church. And it was interesting because it was the first church I'd ever been in, and probably the only church I've been in since, that had a larger men's bathroom than a women's bathroom. And I just didn't know what to make of it when I was first going there. I didn't know how to make sense of that because it was so outside my experience, and we had talked about it before I went to college, and I thought I knew what I believed, and I was so arrogant. Can I confess to you something? It's heartbreaking to think back to this time, because my pastor, Pastor Barry Hart, was a gay man, partnered with two kids. And I went into his office one day, and I told him, "I don't think it's right for you to be a pastor." What arrogance for me to have said such a thing. I had another friend who would come with me pretty regularly to worship who was even more outspoken about how it could not be right. And so when it came to time for a coffee house, he decided to sing a song by a Lutheran band that goes, "Truth is truth, no matter how hard you try to induce something there in the midst of a lie." And truth was used as a weapon. I remember probably within the year of those two experiences, I was having a dinner conversation with that same friend, and I said, I just can't make sense of it. How can I be so opposed to this one thing from this one book of the Bible when in that same book of the Bible it would oppose me becoming a pastor? What is truth? And what is it when we so often use it as a weapon? Doesn't everyone think they have the truth? What is truth these days, when it seems so dependent upon the news you listen to or watch or read? What is truth in the age of fake news? And finally, what is the truth that Jesus is getting at? Jesus says today, "You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." I want to be free. Free of heartache, free of struggle. I want things to be clear. What is truth? Well, we know from this reading from the Gospel of John that it's not who your parents are, right? For those who were following him, the Jews who were following him, they said, "What do you mean we are slaves? We are descendants of Abraham. We have never been slaves to anyone." And Jesus quickly makes it known to them that that is not the truth of who they are. That is not the essence of who they are. No, if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. So what is truth? Is truth knowing the laws laid down in Scripture by heart? And is it following those laws to the T? Is that to know the truth? Well, you all remember that lawyer who approached Jesus and asked him about what it meant to have the greatest commandment, and he laid before him the Ten Commandments. And then he wanted to know what the greatest commandment was, and he said to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said, you are right, go and do this. Go and sell your possessions and give the money to the poor and follow me. Not only do you need to follow all the commandments, but you need to be in relationship knowing the laws. Did not bring that lawyer closer to the truth. Certainly, by all means, stop at red lights. For the sake of good order, follow the laws of our government. Follow the laws laid down in Scripture, particularly the greatest commandment. But Jesus recognized and shared with us what the truth really is. And the joy of the Reformation is that that truth was then brought forward to the church that was so hungry for it. The truth is that we cannot on our own do it. We cannot figure it out. We cannot know the truth. Keeping the laws won't get us closer to the truth. No, for Jesus, the truth is, well, the truth is Jesus, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Which, by the way, can also sound like a judgment. But if you look earlier in the same Gospel of John, you'll see that Jesus also says, and no one can come to me unless drawn by the Father. In other words, for Jesus, the truth comes down to relationship. Relationship with Jesus and relationship with your neighbor. And when we recognize this, we can no longer hold our version of the truth over other people. We can't use it to judge others. Our small t truths can never be used as weapons. No, if we are to be in relationship with Jesus and bear Jesus to the world around us, then we do so with grace, not with judgment. Last weekend, I was at Free Ride, our Synod's middle school youth event, and the theme for this event was, can I ask that? And so we just had piles of questions being brought forward, and it was amazing. And there was only one question that we truly had a clear answer to that, and that was the question, can I ask that? To which we responded with an emphatic yes. Everything else was conversation and relationship. What I love about Daniel being here among us at Epiphany is that he jumped right in to asking questions. And in doing so, he formed relationships with people. Relationships where he could not only grow and learn and reform, but where others might learn alongside him. Relationships are what ground us in the truth that God gives us, the truth of God's grace and love and forgiveness. It's okay to have questions and to not have clear answers. Now, I'll admit it, it's nice thinking you know the truth. It is comforting. I have often been guilty of being pretty certain that I know the truth. Then you can look down on and judge others. But we must be leery of getting too comfortable in our own version of the truth, that we shut down the possibility of learning and growing and reforming. And when confirmation class is done well, that is what happens. It doesn't give you all the right answers. We could try to test Daniel this morning, but I think that he knows better than that by now. We are invited to grow in relationship. For you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And what is that truth? Jesus is the truth, no more and no less. From the prophet Jeremiah, the Lord says, I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. May you know Jesus. May you come to know Jesus more and more, until the day when you finally see him face to face. Then you will see the only truth that matters, the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord, who by grace gathers us into one community of believers. In Jesus' name, amen.